In Genesis 32, we've got a kind of a tense situation going on here because Jacob is going to meet his brother Esau. Remember, they've been separated for 20 years now, and the last that Jacob knew, Esau said, "I'm going to kill him." So that's what he's got to look forward to as far as he knows. I mean, they didn't have communication during that time period, so that's the last thing he heard. So how would you feel knowing you're going to meet this brother of yours who doesn't care for you much and wants to take you out, and you haven't seen him in 20 years? Yeah, you'd probably come packing for a meeting like that, right, just for your own protection. So Jacob is going into that situation. In Genesis 32, then in verse 1, it said, "So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's camp.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." And that term Mahanaim means double camp. And what he was saying was, "Wow, this is our camp, and God's got his camp here too." So a couple things going on with that. It's pretty interesting as Jacob is going into this scary situation. The Lord's letting him know that he wasn't traveling alone. The angels show up here, and now he knows that I'm with the Lord on my side. I'm walking with the Lord here. Take a look back for a second at Genesis 31 and verse 3, because this is what the Lord said to Jacob earlier. Okay, boy, it's good when you got a promise behind you when you're going into a tough situation. So if you need to know that, if you got a tough situation coming up, get into the Word and ask the Lord to give you a promise to hold on to. All right. Now in Genesis 31 verse 3, "Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you.'" So he already promised him, "I'm going to be with you." So these angels appearing now that he's able to see them, and by the way, the angels are already there. It's just the Lord let him see that they were there. You know, the Lord tells us the angels are around us also. We don't see them too often, but they're there for ministering for what the Lord has done and wants to do in our life. So the Lord had already promised him to be with him. Now the angels are kind of evidence that I'm with you. And it's a cool thing because it is a scary situation after 20 years, knowing that I'm going to try to make peace with this guy, that the last words I heard were he was going to kill me, you know. So, yeah, pretty tense situation. But I want you to know that the Lord gave us that promise too. If you want to look at Hebrews 13 in the New Testament, and if you mark your Bible, this is a good passage to mark. And this is an awesome background on this passage too. You get a little bit of that as you get in here. Hebrews 13 verse 5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" And the encouragement here is that you and I, we don't have to fight and scratch and do everything we can to try to get more. The Lord says, be content with what you have. And the picture, too, is that if you need something, I'll take care of you. That's why I said, I'm never going to leave you, or I'm not going to forsake you either. So we can boldly say, the Lord is our helper. He's promised he's never going to leave us. Now, I don't know about you, but I know there are times I really need to be reminded of that, that you don't walk alone, that God is there, you know, because the situations in this life can be overwhelming. In our country, it seems like the financial things come and hit us, you know, off and on there. But the reminder to us is that God's there. He's with us. He knows our needs. He said, just follow me, right? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of the rest. You don't have to worry about the other stuff. So just stay close to the Lord, okay? But the words back in Genesis 32, again, the words that the Lord had promised him and now gave him evidence that it's true, the Lord has told us the same thing. So the Lord may not let you see the angels, but man, you can see God's hand at work if you look around. You can know that he is there. When you see answered prayer that you think, boy, there's no way that could happen, that had to be the Lord. That's solid evidence for you that God was at work, okay? We also have his word written for us, man. We can open the word, get in there, and claim the promises God has for us. So you're not walking alone. Something else, kind of a side note here. Jacob, he's kind of interesting because a lot of times when you see people that have angels appear to them, what's their first reaction? They're scared. It was like, whoa, you know? And the angel, first words out of their mouth are what? Don't be afraid, because they must be pretty scary looking. But Jacob doesn't show any kind of reaction here other than, wow, this must be God's camp, you know? And I think what happened, he probably recognized the angels from the dream he had back in chapter 28. And that's where God gave him a cool promise too, the first time. So if you want to jump back to 28 for a second and look at that, in Genesis 28 down to verse 12, it says, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." So he saw these angels in a dream first, so he was able to know what they looked like and who they were. And I guess being a dream, it was less scary than having them pop up on you. And then in verse 15 in that same passage, it says, the Lord's promise was, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." And his promise in that section there was he's going to bless him with his descendants and his descendants and that. So in other words, the Lord was saying, "I'm never going to leave you, Jacob. I'm always going to be there for you." So he had these promises from God a couple of times, you know, that I'm going to be there for you. I'm with you. And we have the same promise as we go through Scripture. Different places, you find it in the Psalms where the Lord encouraged David with that I'm with you. And like I said, I know I need to hear that once in a while, that you're not alone. Because the enemy wants you to think that you're stuck on your own. And especially if you want to step out and serve the Lord, you're on your own, but you're never alone. So back in chapter 32, let's go a little further than verse 3. "Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom." Now Edom was south of the promised land. Okay, it wasn't in the promised land. And that's going to be kind of interesting as the story goes on. So he sent messengers there to go ahead and tell his brother Esau that I'm coming. So he doesn't want to show up unannounced, and maybe his brother Esau is thinking I'm being attacked or something. So he's really trying to work this to get it calmed down. Okay. So he sends these messengers, and he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau." Notice the respect he's given to his brother. Remember, Esau's the older brother. Okay. And here's what the servants are supposed to say. "Thus your servant, Jacob," notice he calls himself his servant, he says, "I have dwelt with Laban, and I've stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." So he's approaching him very humbly, and he's letting him know here that where I've been for the last 20 years, I've been with our relative, living in his territory there. He also is letting him know that I've got plenty of provisions, so I'm not coming to take anything from you. I'm not here for a handout. And other than that, he says, "I want to find favor in your sight." That's what he's really after. So he's hoping that he and Esau can get along so they can live in peace in the land that their fathers had laid down for them. And of course, that all came from the Lord. So that was his desire, and he's trying to set this up as peaceful as he can. Now it goes on in verse 6. "Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to your brother Esau.'" So you think, oh, hooray, they found him, you know. "And he's also coming to meet you." Well, that sounds good too. "And 400 men are with him." Now that's enough to scare Jacob, and that's what it says. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he's going to come up with a plan here. He says he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape." Okay? So Jacob is greatly afraid and distressed. All right? He's thinking the worst, which like I said, in the back of his mind, last thing he knows is his brother wants to kill him. So now he's bringing 400 guys with him. Yeah, that would be a little intimidating. But he's thinking the worst. Okay? So what does Jacob do? Well, he's decided to come up with a plan. And he's acting a lot like Jacob here, okay? He's able to come up with his schemes and his ideas. Now, God had just shown him that he wasn't alone, right? Remember, that was just a moment ago. So he knows God is with him, but he's not looking at that yet. He's going to go there, but at the moment, his first thought is, like you and me, naturally, what are we going to do? Okay, so he's distressed, pretty shook over this deal. And the first instinct, according to his flesh, is I got to come up with a scheme, try to get out of this deal, okay? And that's a danger for you and me too, that whatever our natural thinking is in our flesh, You know, the Lord tells us, do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in Him with all your heart. The danger is we're going to let our flesh lead us first and then say, oh yeah, what about the Lord? You know? And we know in our heart and our mind that we should go to the Lord first, right? And say, Lord, I'm your child. You promised you wouldn't leave me. So I'm calling on you now for help. Okay? And then see what the Lord brings to our mind to do. But Jacob, he's kind of working in reverse mode. That's the way he's been all his life. And the Lord knows us. He understands the way we are. But it's a lot easier for us if we go to Him first. Okay? So anyway, he comes up with his idea here, his plan. Okay? Now God had already promised him he was going to be with him. And Jacob even acknowledged before this that God was at work in his life. I'll look back at chapter 31 and verse 42. Said, unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. And he said, God has seen my affliction, the labor of my hands, and rebuked you last night when he was talking to Laban. But here's the thing. He's seen God work in his life, and he's even said that. I mean, those words have come out of his mouth. And he knows God said he's going to be with him. And then he decides to do something on his own. Okay? Now, we look at this, and we're seeing it because we're... Of course, we got the easy chair. We're looking at this and saying, wow, Jacob, wait a minute. Put the brakes on here. Go to God first. He's going to go to God, but he goes second to God, okay? First, he goes to his own understanding. So the point is, the Lord wants us to see is, if you've been walking with the Lord for some time, you know the Lord has worked in your life as well. And you've also seen in His Word, if you've been reading the Word and studying the Word, that God said He's going to be with you. So you've seen God work. You've made that testimony too, that God did this in my life. And then we had that tendency to backtrack, you know, and to say, what can I do in my flesh? But the Lord is saying, I want you to trust me is what I want you to do, okay? So we get a chance to look at what does this look like on the outside when somebody knows better, but they're still kind of reverting back to their ways, okay? And the Lord wants us to get that picture so we can say, well, I don't want my picture to look like that. I want, when the Lord has something going on in my life, I want to be able to say, wait a minute, I trusted God before, I can trust Him now, okay? And that's kind of where the Lord is leading us with that. And Jacob is learning here, and he's growing, so he does go to prayer as we get to verse 9, okay? So that's a good thing to see. He had started to manipulate, but God promised him, and the thing for us to remember too is don't forget God's faithfulness, okay? You and I kind of waver. We go back and forth, but God's always steady. He's always faithful. When He makes a promise, He meant it today. He means it tonight, He means it this afternoon, He means it tomorrow, He means it Friday. His promises are good all the time. It's not up and down like we kind of go with our feelings, okay? So hang in there with the Lord. Now, he's concerned, right? He said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape. Verse 9, then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, now notice he's going to pray what God said to him. So he's praying the promise that God had given him. That's an awesome way to pray, by the way, okay, when the Lord tells us something. Now, here's what happened. He said, return to your country, this is what God told him, and to your family, and I will deal well with you. So he's claiming that promise that God had said to him, all right, that God said, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to take care of you, you'll be taken care of, don't have to worry about it. So he's praying that back. Now, there's a great lesson for you and me too, okay? We can pray the promises God has given to you and me. We can pray them back to the Lord. And it's not like the Lord needs to be reminded of what He said. That's kind of a faith builder for you and me. So we're praying based on His promises, but we're also praying based on His character, okay? Now, think that one through. Man, if you can get this, you're getting into some deep Christianity here, okay? God loves you and me, right? And He wants to work through us. To do that, He's going to take care of us as we're going along the way. We might have some major pitfalls in our life, but it's okay because God's still there. He hasn't left us. He's still working, okay? So as God is going to use us, He's going to allow things to happen in our life, and He's going to use those for His glory, all right? We just hold on to Him, and we just keep going forward. When God makes a promise to us, we can pray that and also know God's character. If God is a good God, and He is, and God wants to see people saved, and He does, and God wants to use us, then we can say, Lord, I'm here. I give myself to You. Fill me with Your Spirit. Work through me. Lead me where You want me to go. And just don't let me get in the way from what You're trying to do. Okay? And Jacob here is trying to learn that lesson, and he's coming along. It's part of our Christian walk to learn to let go more and more the further we walk with the Lord. So he's claiming this promise that God has said to him, knowing that God is faithful. And that's why we can hold on to those promises. Okay? So he said, the Lord told him, return to your country, to your family, and I will deal well with you. And he says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. Now notice the humbleness in his heart. We don't see this when Jacob first sets off to leave his brother Esau and go to the other land. He sees God, meets him at Bethel, remember? And at that point, it's like, wow, God is here, you know? And now he's starting his personal walk with the Lord. Well, now he's to the point where he's seen God do amazing things in his life. He's seen God bless him when he shouldn't have been blessed. Remember the speckled animals and the spotted animals that he wasn't supposed to get, and yet God kept pumping them things out. And he saw all those blessings. And he said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. Wow, what a humble statement to say. Now, you guys think about this with me. If he believed and lived what he just said, it'd be so awesome. Because what he is saying is, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your truth. I need your mercy to go further. I need that. And man, when you're in that path, you're wide open to God working right there. Okay? But that's what he said. He's learning, like I said, so I'm not trying to criticize him. I'm just pointing out, you know, it's easy to see with old Jacob here when he's walking in the flesh and when he's walking in the spirit following the Lord. He says, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. And that's what he's saying. When I left this place, when I ran from my brother Esau, all I had was that staff in my hand. That was it, my stick. But now I'm coming back, and I got enough to divide it into two companies of people. That's pretty amazing. So in 20 years, he has seen God's hand on him and all that God has done, and it has humbled him. Now, I hope for you and me, when we see God work in our life like that, it humbles us. That should be the right response. You know, not oh, look at me, look what I've done, or anything like that, but thank you, Lord. I can't believe you did that for me. You know? Because we know ourselves, if we're honest, we know that we don't deserve anything, and God is so gracious to us. You know, he's so merciful to us. So he's humbled by this and what all God has done for him. He goes on then and he says, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. So he's very honest in his prayer. And this is kind of another secret to praying and seeing God work. You might as well be honest with him because he knows anyway. Okay? He doesn't say here, hey, my brother's coming. I'm a little nervous, so would you help me? No. He says, my brother's coming, and I'm afraid. He said, I'm afraid he's going to come and attack me and the mother and the children, and he's going to wipe us out, is what he's saying. I'm afraid that's going to happen. And that's really where he's at. Okay? Now, don't hold back and think you're going to try to fool the Lord that you got more faith than you do. Okay? Just be honest. He knows, and he's okay with that. And the coolest thing is, when the Lord sees us in a humble way like that, that we just said, Lord, this is where I'm at, that's when God can deal with the issues, right there. If we're going to hide them and play games, God's going to say, well, if you're doing that good, you really don't need my help right now. So he'll leave you. He'll let you have that one. Okay, you can work that one out on your own. But if we admit, Lord, I'm scared here. I need your help. You'd be amazed how God shows up and says, okay, let's go, and I'm with you. Well, we'll go forward and take care of this. So he is going to step in and help him in this situation. Now, it says here in verse 12, again, reminding the Lord, for you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. So at this point now in his life, this tells us something too about his walk. He fully knows God's promise to him because he's able to say it back to him. Okay? And this is when we get to a really cool place. Okay? When you're walking with the Lord and you're taking God's word and you're believing it and accepting it in your life and you're living it and you're doing it, it becomes part of you. And it's proof there that you really believe what God said to be true. Okay? And what happens there is you're able to step out in faith. You're able to step out trusting the Lord to do something that you know you can't do on your own. You're stepping out there kind of in the great beyond, where if this is of the Lord, it's going to work. But if it's not of the Lord, it's going to fall apart. Okay? And you have that kind of scary step to step out there and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to see if you're really here. And this is what he is saying. I'm trusting you, Lord. You said it's going to go well for me. So I'm not running from Esau this time. I'm going to meet him. Even though it looks pretty bad at this point, he's got 400 men, and he has the power at that point to take us out. Okay? That's a cool picture to see, his trust in the Lord. Like I said, he's growing. Okay? He's growing. Because he knows without God, he's in real trouble here. Now, just another thought on this, okay, as he's trusting what God said to be true and claiming those promises, there's a beautiful promise in the New Testament. You remember the Philippian jailer that came and spoke to Paul. And when the cell doors were opened by the earthquake and the jailer thought, oh my goodness, all the prisoners escaped, he's going to kill himself. He comes to Paul once Paul says, wait, don't hurt yourself, we're all still here. The prisoners didn't leave the jail. When that happened, he came to Paul and he said, what must I do to be saved? And his answer was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's that simple, salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God said. That's the promise that you will be saved. Okay, that's the answer to that. So it's that simple for you and I to say, Lord, I do trust you, Jesus, that you died on the cross and you paid for my sins. Because of that, I know if I'm accepting you and what you did on the cross, that my sins are paid for because you said it was finished. Because you said it was finished, it's done, and I am now saved. Praise the Lord. And that's an awesome promise that God gives us. And that's true, like I said, it's true this morning, it's true this afternoon, tonight, coming later this week, it's true 10 years from now if the Lord tarries, because God is faithful. It's not on you or me, it's not on how we feel, but it's on the faithfulness of God. Okay? So here is Jacob now talking to the Lord and having a great conversation because he's just saying, Lord, you said this and I'm going to believe you on this one. I'm stepping out here. Okay? So we go on to verse 13. So he lodged there that same night and he took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and he said to his servants, pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves. So he's putting servants in charge of each group of animals. And he said, I want that first group to go, and you meet Esau first, then the next group with animals and put some distance between you, the next ones to go, and then all the way down the line. It says, and he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau my brother meets you, and ask you, saying, to whom do you belong, and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you? Then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. Notice, servant Jacob is the title he wants him to be called. It's a present sent to my lord Esau. So again, the humbleness, the respect for his older brother. And behold, he is also behind us. Okay? So here's Jacob now. He's reverted after his nice, beautiful prayer to Jacob, and he's going to give 580 animals to his brother. So there's still some manipulation going on here, and he's going to try to, you know, the point for us is it's hard for him to get away from me and Jacob, all right? So he's prayed, and he said, okay, now what can I do? And now he's come back to his idea of I'm going to hit my brother with all these gifts and maybe soften him up so when we meet, you know, it won't be as bad, okay? So, and the Lord's going to let him do this. Lord does that with you and me too. He'll let you say, okay, if you want to give it a shot, your own, go right ahead. It's going to be harder your way. It's going to be more work, a little more hassle, but go ahead. I'll come behind you and I'll pick up the pieces and put things together. It'd be a lot easier just to say, I'm going to trust the Lord in this one and see what God's going to do. Now, he said they're supposed to say, they're your servants, Jacob, and it's a present to my Lord. And then he says, behold, he's also behind us. Now, verse 19. So he commanded the second, the third, and the all who follow the droves, saying, in this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, now here's his thinking, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. Now, God's already laid the path out, okay? God's already promised him, and still he's striving here in the flesh to try to get something done. It says in verse 21, so the present went on before over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. And he arose that night, and he took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. I think Jacob was at this point trying to get a little, he's got everybody up front. and he's kept those who are dearest to him at the back. And now he's sending them over the water here because he wants to stay on this side and apparently have some time alone to maybe think through his plan, see if he's missed something, you know, or something going on here. Because at this point, he's prayed to God, but he's trusting in Jacob. Okay? Now think about that, because that hits kind of close to home, and we do that too. We pray to the Lord, and then we trust in what we come up with. All right? Yeah, this looks way too familiar, doesn't it, when we look at these things? So anyway, he's left alone now. Now he says, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now this gives us a picture of how strong physically and just emotionally and everything else Jacob is. Remember, he's a hard worker. This guy's in shape, okay? He's worked hard. And he is strengthened by the work he's put into it. So he's able to wrestle all night long. Now, any of you guys been in wrestling before or done some wrestling? You know, even the wrestling matches, they don't last too long. We're talking, what, 3 minutes or something like that, and it's over? And in 3 minutes, you're physically exhausted. I mean, it's taking everything out of you to survive against a worthy opponent for 3 minutes. He's going all night long, and he's not losing. Whoa, this guy's tough, okay? It's his will that's pushing him on. And God has to break that will to make you more usable. I think we talked about this before. A lot of times God has to break us if he wants to use us in a deeper way. We don't like that. It's uncomfortable. But man, if we submit to that, we can see God do some amazing stuff. But we got to be humble to say, okay, Lord, okay? Now Jacob, he's back on Jacob at this point. So he's got this wrestling match going. We find out down the road, he's wrestling with God, okay? Some people think, and it's very possible, that this is actually Jesus, pre-incarnate picture of Jesus coming and wrestling with him, all right? Now it goes on here, verse 25. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, and this is talking about the Lord still wrestling with him, all right, all night long, he touched the socket of his hip. So the Lord touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And this is the Lord talking to Jacob, saying, let me go, because it's daybreak. Man, we've been wrestling all night. It's time for you to give up. You need to call uncle here, okay? Jacob's going to hang on. But I want you to think again how tough Jacob is. Not only has he been wrestling all night, now he's in extreme pain. His hip's out of joint. That is extremely painful, and he's still not giving up. Wow. So the Lord shows us a picture here, I think, of how strong our flesh can be and how God has to work on that to finally get it to the point to surrender. Now, it would have been a whole lot easier if early in the night Jacob would have said, you know what, you're a tough guy, and I know who you are. I figured it out. You're God I'm wrestling with, and I'm going to submit right now. But no, he's going to keep on, okay? So here's the Lord saying, let go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So here's Jacob saying, there's only one condition that I'm ever going to let you go. I'll die before I let you go. You're going to have to bless me. Now you have to see something about this, all right? Look at Hosea chapter 12. At the end of the Old Testament, we've got the minor prophets. So if you find Matthew, you can go back a little bit. You find Daniel, you can go forward some. Hosea chapter 12. And thankfully, the Lord gives us a little more insight on this. This really makes sense when you look at this. Hosea chapter 12, if you look down to verse 3, it's talking about this very situation. It says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength, he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel, and he prevailed. He wept, and he sought favor from him. Okay, he found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. Now, it tells us here that he was weeping when he was seeking favor. So, if you can picture this, he is hurt. Man, his hip is out of joint. He's in pain. And the Lord is saying, it's time to quit, time to let go. And he says, he's in tears, saying, I'm not letting go unless you bless me. And he's in tears. He's weeping over this. So, this is an extreme moment. It's not like Jacob is just sucking it up and this doesn't hurt that bad kind of thing. He's really hurting. But in his will, he says, I'm going to be blessed. I'm not going to let go. Okay? So back in Genesis 32, he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. This is an amazing picture that the Lord, before he blesses him, he makes him admit who he is. And by saying Jacob, he's saying, I'm the supplanter, I'm the con artist, that's my name. Okay? And the Lord now said to him, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Now, the name Israel means ruled by God. So rather than him saying, basically, I've been ruled by me, I'm a con artist, and I'm good at it, God says, you're going to be called Israel, you're going to be called ruled by God. And you know what? That should be the goal for every one of our lives. Our goal is that we want to be ruled by God. We want to be Spirit-led. That should be our goal. And that's what he's saying. I'm calling you Israel because you are to be ruled by God. And the Lord is basically saying, I've broken you to this point, and now you're going to be submitted to me. Okay? So he's breaking him again to use him more. And he says, you struggle with God, and you have struggled with men, and you've prevailed. He's prevailed, but he's been hurt through this. Okay? Now here's something that happened with Jacob. When he came to the end of himself, he saw his need for God in his life. Now think about this. You and I have to get to that point too. We have to get to the point where we're at the end of ourselves. The big question is, and I like the way Chuck Smith said this, God wants to change you from a carnal man to a spiritual man, to turn you from a life governed by your flesh to one governed by your spirit. That's God's intention for you. But does God have to cripple you to do it? Because he did that with Jacob there. Jacob got crippled. He's going to limp away from this situation. And he said, I hope not. I hope we won't be so foolish as to wrestle with God until he has to cripple us to bring us into total submission to him. God loves you enough that he's not beyond doing that. He will do that if that's what's necessary to get you to submit to him. And it's not a bad thing. That's the safest place for you to be, is in submission to God. That's the best place in the world for you and me to be, is that submitted place. We don't like going there because our flesh is fighting us all the way. You know, Jesus said, die to yourself daily. Take up your cross and follow me. Right? So there's a fight that goes on. But boy, I tell you, get there quickly, because it's just a hard road to go if you're fighting that one. So it goes on to verse 29. Then Jacob asked, saying, well, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. The Lord never told him anything further. Didn't tell him his name or anything. And this is an interesting picture. God stepped into his life because he had to break him before he met Esau. He had to get him to the point of trusting him. So that's what God is in the process of doing. And it's going to continue on. It's not going to stop at this point. But now the Lord has brought him there, and God doesn't bless him until he breaks him first, notice. Okay? So think about this. When you and I fight the breaking process God's trying to do in our life, we're not getting to the blessing on the other side of that. We got to go through the breaking to get to the blessing. Is that comfortable? Not at all. Is it humbling? Extremely. Will your flesh like it? No, it will hate it. It will scream. It will fight all the way, just like Jacob's fought all night long with the Lord, saying, I don't want to do it your way. Okay? So it's a struggle. It's a fight. But boy, submit and get to the Lord quickly. You don't want to have to go through that whole mess. It goes on in the passage here. On another note, too, I was thinking here, while the Lord didn't tell him his name, the Lord revealed to him what he needed at that point in time, but he wasn't going to go any further. It wasn't God's plan to reveal himself any further. He's going to reveal himself in a more personal way yet to Moses when Moses comes on the scene. But at this point in time, Jacob got what he needed, and now he needs to move on and trust God. And the thing with you and I need to understand, too, is we'd love to understand every single thing in the Word of God. You're not able to handle it. I'm not able to handle it. As we study, we'll be studying the rest of our life. And there'll be things we won't get in the Word of God. And it's okay. I'm looking forward to the day we stand before Jesus and he says, here's some things I want to share with you that I couldn't when you were on earth. You couldn't handle them. Either you weren't ready or it wasn't in my plan yet to reveal them. But now, I'm going to tell you. Ooh, that's going to be awesome and sweet to be there and hear those words. Now it goes on in verse 30. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, which means face of God. He says, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So he calls that, again, a very special place in his life where he actually met God. Okay? Now, just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him. So the night did end, and morning was right there. And it says, and he limped on his hip. He walked away from that place with a limp from God. Okay? And like somebody said, he was changed on the outside because now he's limping. But he was also changed on the inside, where he's stronger because he's trusting in God more. Okay? And boy, I hope that's the way you and I walk away from these things too. When God has to humble us, I hope you walk away stronger in your faith. You might be weaker in your flesh. Praise God for that. But stronger in your faith. Okay? It says he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. And that was the tradition they carried on to the time of this writing. And I've heard it's still going on today. They stay away from that because of Jacob. I mean, he's Israel. He's who they're named after. Okay, but this is supposed to be a reminder then that you can fight with God. You can fight all night long, but God's going to win in the end. You know, it's better to surrender quickly to the Lord. He calls us to stand against the enemy. But when it comes to the Lord, get on your knees quickly and say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and for these lessons you show us through Jacob. Lord, as we're looking at this picture, we're going to see Jacob, Lord, and sometimes he acts like Jacob and sometimes he acts like Israel. And Lord, it's the same in us. There's nothing good in us. That's what Paul reminded us in the New Testament, Lord. We can't trust in our flesh, and yet the temptation is always there every day. Father, help us to have that walk with you so closely that we do deny ourselves, Lord. We start the day with that denial. We take up that cross, Jesus, and we follow you. Father, I thank you for the tremendous work you've done in the past and the work you've done in our lives as we've seen your hand. Father, if there's someone here today who has never started that walk with you, I pray today you'd help them get past themselves to say no to their flesh, no to their thoughts that are saying you don't need Jesus. And today just to surrender and say, Jesus, I need you. Father, I thank you for those you brought today. I thank you for the strength you've given them to hold in there through all that we're going through now. And Lord, we just trust you and what you're doing. This is your place. This is your work. And we just rejoice to be part of what you're doing. Use us for your glory. And we give you all the praise in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.